So it's not quite a year ago that a couple in my life group hosted a murder mystery party. And we've been talking about this for a while, and we finally decided to make it happen. And if you've never heard of this, or you're not familiar with murder mystery parties, we actually bought a kit. And in it, it gave us all these different characters, and so we all were assigned a person, and we even got a little bit of backstory about our person, and in some cases, suggestions about how this person might dress, and other things like that. And so then when you get to the party, you start interacting based on this storyline you've been given, and some of us party guests became victims to the murderer, and then one of the party guests was the murderer, but they didn't know it at the time, so it kept it pretty interesting. And as the party goes, you would get clues, and some of the clues were just for you, so your character would open an envelope and it would tell you more about yourself or other people and possible motives. And then there were also clues that the whole group got. And as the night goes on, you get more of these. And then as you get close to the end, everyone has to write down on a piece of paper who they think the murderer is. And so this is what we went about and did, and we finally all made our guesses. And so the host invited us into the living room and where we all sat down, and we all got envelopes, and they told us that each envelope had a number, and we were going to go through the envelopes and open them in order. And then after everyone had opened their envelopes, the party host had the final envelope that would kind of tie the whole thing together. So we started opening our envelopes one at a time, and as you open it, it has your alibi. And so it was like, this is why it wasn't me, and we kind of work our whole way through, and we find out who the murderer was, and there was a lot of shock about this. And then we turn back to the host of the party because we know they have the final clue. And so he opens the envelope, and he says, when we gathered here tonight, you thought that there were 16 of us, but there's actually 17. And this point, we're all like, plot twist. Like, is there somebody else who's the murderer here? Like, what's going on? Like, we're really excited about what's going to come next. And he keeps reading and he says, the identity of this person has yet to be revealed. So for now, we'll call them Baby B, coming September 2018. I know, right? So you guys picked up on this much faster than we did, just so you know, because we were so invested in the murder storyline. They got this on video, and there's a solid beat where the room is silent, and it's like, wait, this is real. Like, this isn't the game anymore. And then the room kind of erupts with this excitement. After we all, you know, express our deep joy and stuff like this, we settle down, and the couple tells us that outside of their parents and siblings and maybe like one or two super close friends, they haven't told anybody else yet. They haven't told aunts or uncles or colleagues or anybody, because they wanted us to be some of the first people to know. And they threw an elaborate party to tell us and surprise us. And I tell you the story because this is an example of what it can be like to do life together with a group of people. You may have noticed here at Advent over the last few years, we've shifted from calling our groups small groups to life groups. And one of the reasons for this is because we believe that the latter term that's talking about life groups better encompasses what we're talking about and what this means. Because while as a group we do read and study and pray together, there's a whole lot more to it than just those things. It's really a group that is sharing life together. And so this morning we already announced that you're going to have an opportunity to check out our life groups later. And I'm just going to be honest that I really have two objectives this morning. That the first is that if you are not in a group, that this will motivate you or inspire you to consider joining one or to try again. Because we know that maybe some of you have been in a group in the past or even had a bad experience, but that you will take a step to try again. And then if you are in a group, I hope that this will motivate you or open your eyes to somebody to invite to your group, to invite somebody to your group, or if the person you have in mind, like, you know, wouldn't fit in your group at all because of just different life stages or whatever, that you'll help them to find a group this morning. So keep that in mind as we turn to our scripture. And this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll begin reading in verse 25, and this is the Message translation. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this passage from 1 Corinthians 12 is one of Paul's more famous passages. You might be familiar with the broader context when Paul talks about how the body has many parts, but we're all one member. And without the foot, where would the hand be? And without the head, where would the eye be? What good would it be? And Paul talks about the ways that we're all connected. And from what I read, he says, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as church. Every part dependent on every other part. No part of your body can function or even survive for very long apart from the body. I mean, I know with modern science, if you were to lose a finger, that it could sit on ice for a few hours and we might be able to reattach it, or that transplants happen. But beyond a pretty tight window of time, our body parts become useless if they're removed or detached from the body. They can't function. They can't survive. And Paul is telling us that the same thing is true for humans, that we can't function or survive, certainly not thrive, if we are alone or in isolation. And this isn't new information. You probably already know this, and we've known this since the beginning. I mean, this is one of the first observations that God makes about humankind. In Genesis 2, after God has created all that is, the heavens and the earth, and then God creates Adam, God says, "It is not good that man should be alone." God looks at Adam and says, this is not how humans were created to be. We weren't created to be alone. And so God creates Eve, which means that really since the beginning, we've been designed, we've been created for community. And I want to talk more about what this kind of community means. And this week when I was reading one of the commentaries on 1 Corinthians 12, I came across this excerpt in the commentary Feasting on the Word. It says, this is more than making casseroles for someone in need or throwing a party for someone celebrating. It is about being a community that shares its life. Many of us rarely experience this kind of community. Too many of our relationships are functional, existing in order to do or achieve something. But our relationships in Christ, in a sense, have no purpose beyond themselves. They exist as a visible expression of the love of God, a love that simply takes delight in the presence of the beloved. As part of the body, we share each other's lives in good times and in bad. And as we do, we become tangible expressions of God's care. We know God loves us when we are held in a community of love. So we talk about community. When we talk about a group, it's not just that it's essential for our functioning and well-being, which I believe that it is. It's also that when we are part of groups and community like this, it helps us to experience God's love. We become tangible expressions of God's love and care, and we come to experience and know and understand God's love in new ways. It's why around here we say that growth happens in. And as Pastor Michael already alluded, I'm going to add today a new phrase, that care happens in community. So we can all try that together. Growth happens in, and care happens in. Excellent. So the easiest way for me to do this and really talk about how this is true is to just share my own experience and to talk about my experience in a life group. And I'm not just going to share mine. I've actually asked my group members this week to share some of their stories and experiences as well. And I'm going to weave that in, and I won't totally call them out, but most of them come to the service and sit in the back left over here. So they might be like nodding along or whatever. But if you've never been in a group and you don't even know what group life like might be like, this group began shortly after I got to Advent, so we've been meeting about 5.5 years, and the makeup of this group has changed over time because people have moved and people have come and gone, but we meet weekly. We typically meet at my house, although we do mix it up from time to time. We've done all kinds of studies over the last 5.5 years. We've read books by Bob Goff, and you've heard me talk about that in recent sermons. We've done stuff by Adam Hamilton. We've done the Disciple Bible Study New Testament version. We've done Financial Peace University. We've done all kinds of stuff. Over the course of this 5.5 years, we've celebrated at weddings and the marriages of people in our group. We've welcomed a new baby. We've celebrated paying off loans and people becoming debt free. As a group, we've wrestled with scripture and questions about God and what it means to be people of faith. We've prayed for one another and with one another and for family members and close friends. We've gone hiking and we've gone to the lake and we've had movie nights and we've had a murder mystery party. We've shared together in good times and in bad. We've really just shared our lives together. As one of my group members said, after being in this small group for more than 5 years, I no longer need to say my small group friends because they're just my friends. They're the people who lift me up and celebrate life's joys and share life's burdens with me. They've encouraged me through long days and trying times at work. They've held me close as my family has endured health struggles. They've helped me plan my wedding, and they'll be there to celebrate the big, exciting day. I count my friendships in small groups as a true blessing, and I'm so grateful to have found my way to Advent and to them. Another group member told me that before he started coming to small group, he was really just going through the motions, kind of trying to find his purpose, but he said that he's grown more in his faith and as a person in the last 3 years of being in our life group than he has the previous 28 years of his life. Or as one of our group members said, kind of joking, but also kind of serious, if it weren't for small group, I wouldn't have any friends. It's true. Growth happens in groups. Care happens in community. It's hard to believe, but this upcoming Friday is the 2-year anniversary of the fire of our sanctuary. And I'm sure many of you remember that day, and I know that it was a hard day for all of us, and especially as a staff member here, being here in the place where I spend more waking hours than anywhere else and watching it burn for hours upon hours upon hours. It was a very long and difficult day. And finally, after being here for a really long time, I went home, and within about 30 minutes after I got home, I would say probably 2/3 of my small group was at my house, and they had pizza and cookie dough, and there might have been a movie or something else. And I think this was in part because they did want to check on me because they knew this probably was an especially hard day for me. But it was also because they were grieving and hurting too. And that after a long, hard day for the Advent family, that what they wanted, what we all wanted, was just to be together and with one another. And so we ate our pizza and we shared Advent memories and stories about things that happened in the sanctuary and just in our lives. And we laughed and we cried and we enjoyed just being together and caring for one another. Because growth happens in groups and care happens in community. Pastor Michael and I have mentioned before, and we've realized over the years that it's true, that we do far less pastoral care for people who are well connected in groups here at Advent because the groups take care of them. Sometimes we won't even hear about things until weeks after they happen. We'll find out weeks later that somebody was in the hospital or had surgery or had a parent or another family member pass away. And so we'll call weeks after the fact and follow up and check in and apologize that we hadn't reached out or done anything sooner. And usually when that's the case, the person will say, oh, it's fine. We didn't call on purpose because our life group has been great. They came to the hospital. They came to the funeral. They showed up at my house. They've been bringing meals for weeks. We've been well cared for, and we really didn't need you guys to do anything else. And what I also know to be true is that as Advent continues to grow and as we continue to fish and do all this, it becomes increasingly difficult for me and Pastor Michael, two people, to care for all of you. I mean, just look around how many people are in this room right now. And we had a service before and we have another service after. And we also know that a lot of you are at the lake or doing something else this weekend and will be back next weekend. So it's hard for us to even care in the way that we might want to, or that you might need it, but when you're connected in a group, that helps that care to happen. It goes back to that quote I read you from the commentary, Feasting on the Word, where it says, we become in groups, we become a tangible expression of God's care. We know God loves us when we are held in a community of love. And while Advent is a very large community that is absolutely a community of love, I think we also experience that more truly and deeply in the smaller communities within this bigger family. And as we grow larger, we have to grow smaller. Because small group communities, they help us to grow. They help hold us accountable. They care for us. And in our small groups, they and us become expressions of God's love. So now if you're not in a group this morning, we've already said that in the room to my left and your right, there are tables and we have group leaders and people who are part of groups who are there, and they would love to talk to you and help you to get connected. And I also want to acknowledge this morning that I'm sure there are some of you who have tried a group before and maybe had a bad experience, and maybe that was somewhere else, but maybe it was here and it was just a different mix of people and you didn't connect, or if you didn't feel welcomed, I want to apologize if that was the case. But I've got to tell you, they got to try again. I mean, sometimes you got to give things a couple tries to get the right fit. And the first time you show up in a group, it probably is going to be awkward if you don't really know anybody in there. And so you got to go back a few times to kind of break the awkwardness. And it's kind of like when you fall off a bike, you got to get back on and try again. And so it does take a little bit of time. It's not just going to be instant usually. But we got to keep trying because it matters. This is also why I have an equal challenge for those of you who are already involved in a group. It's why I want you to invite somebody to your group or to help them find another one. And if you're in a group, I want you to think about what you love about your group, about the impact it's had on your life, and then ask yourself how you got connected in the first place. Because while it's possible, because we do these sermons every so often and we encourage you to join a group and we talk about group life, that maybe you felt the pressure and you went ahead and signed up and that was what happened, I'm willing to believe that it's far more likely that you're connected in your group because somebody else invited you to join. Now, there's never a bad time to invite people to a group, and I've kind of given you the all call to do so. But if you're a little bit uneasy about this, or you don't want to assume, or you don't know that somebody's in a group, Andy Stanley gives three cues that are a great sign to invite somebody. So I'm going to give those to you today as another way to help you out. He calls these the three not cues, okay? So if you hear any of these statements. So the first is if you're talking to somebody, this week especially, but in general, and they say things are not going well. Seems like a great time to invite them to a group. To say, you know what, I've gone through really difficult things too, and when that happened, I don't know how I would have made it without this group that I'm a part of. Because they did this, they did that, they were so helpful in supporting me. Why don't you come check out my group? So things aren't going well. The second thing is, I was not prepared for. We all know this happens in our lives. Things happen that we're not ready for, and often we feel overwhelmed and don't know the next step. Man, it's a whole lot easier to figure out what's next if you have a group to support and help you. And then the final thing is that I'm not from here. And we hear this even at Advent sometimes. As you know, I'm willing to bet that there's probably no one in here who can name everyone in here. I mean, I don't think I can. And so I'm going to guess that there are people in here who can't name every single person here. And so we get this assumption and people say, well, I don't want to offend somebody if they're not, you know, if they've been around for a long time. Well, one, I think we should let go of that. We're big. You just introduce yourself. But two, especially if somebody says, I'm not from here, then that makes it really easy, you know, whether here or in a new place, because I don't have any family in South Carolina. I'm not from here. I still don't have any family in South Carolina. But one of the ways that this has become home for me is because I found new family here in groups and the people who've become like family. So, things aren't going well. I wasn't prepared. I'm not from here. If you hear any of those, especially this week, but in general, then I hope that you're going to invite somebody. I mean, if you hear any of those this week and you don't invite someone, I'm going to be like, feel like I really did not hit the mark then. You know, it's like, because it's important, because it matters. Because we believe, we know that growth happens in groups. We know that care happens in community. And as Paul says, when we are disconnected from the body, we can't survive. But when we're connected and in community, we become tangible expressions of God's love and care. Let us pray. Almighty God, I'm grateful for all of our group leaders, for the ways that you are at work in our life groups, for the ways that our groups provide window and insight into your love and care for us, and for the ways that we have the opportunity to be a tangible expression of your love. God, I pray for those who are here who are not a part of a group that you would help them to find the right space, whether that is connecting and creating a group with people they know or with new friends or finding a group to connect with. And God, for those of us who are in groups, I pray that you would open our eyes to extend that invitation or to nudge that person in our life who just needs that little extra push to get connected, so that we can grow in faith, so that we can be cared for and care for others. And God, in doing so, that we may all grow as more faithful disciples. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.